Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All right. What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Happy Thursday. It is freezing here. Literally, it's like 36 degrees. It was 29 here a bit ago, but it's cold in Nashville. Dan, how cold does it get right now in Florida? Like, where are you at?
Right now it is 62 degrees, low of 51, high of 80 though.
I'm telling you. So I was at that conference in Fort Lauderdale a few weeks ago. The older I get, I'm going to continue to say this. The older I get, the more attracted I am to live in Florida.
Yeah, no, Florida's a great place to live. We are going to institute an application process though. Lots of people moved here. Yeah. Lots of people then complain about the heat and everything else. But, you know, this is what you sign up for, you know. But Florida's getting full. We'll invite you.
Yeah, Nashville's full. No more people in Nashville. Go to Knoxville, which, speaking of that, Wade, it's nice to have you on, man.
Thanks, man. We tell everyone to go on to Nashville.
Yeah, I know. Well, stop that. We're full too. We just start sending people to like Chattanooga or something. Yeah, excited for Wade to be on the show. So I met Wade at a conference, 3686 conference, in Nashville last month. It was a great conference. Met a lot of great founders, and Wade was one of them. And I was captivated immediately about what Wade was building. And so, but before we dive in again, if you catch this and you watch this now in the future, and you're like, "What is Unicorn Finders?" Unicorn Finders was stemmed out of COVID, March of 2020. Me and Dan, Jake, we don't know what happened to Jake. I think he got captured or something because he hasn't been on in a bit. But me, Dan, and Jake are good friends. Me and Dan are even better friends now because of this. We want an excuse to hang out. So we've been doing it for 3.5 years now. Our focus is bringing on companies that are doing really cool things that you probably haven't heard of yet. So with that being said, Wade, want to kick it off to you. Man, what is Farm Grub? What's your involvement with Farm Grub? And then we'll just go from there.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for having me on. This is a great show. I didn't realize you guys existed, so I'm definitely going to be a fan from now on. So, yeah, I've finally found my home amongst the other unicorns.
There you go.
So,
yeah. There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, so Farm Grub is not my day job. I have a day job, but I'm a digital strategist or a brand strategist for large companies as well. And I was always looking for something that I could apply my talents to that also had an impact, had a social impact that did some good in the world while I was here. And one of the things that scared us, I think a few years ago, we saw some scary things with the pandemic. And one of the scariest things we saw is how reliant we are on the national food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so turns out like a big company like Tyson or US Food, big companies, great companies, or whatever. But if they have a breakdown far, far away, we have empty shelves here. And there's nothing we can do about it. So that was the real scary part. So I was like, well, food seems to be like one of the best things I could really, really get into. My grandfather was a farmer. My father-in-law is a farmer. I'm a foodie. So I was like, let's dig in and see what's going on. Why is food skyrocketing, and why are we wasting so much food? And, you know, why are so many people struggling? Well, it really comes down to the fact that food travels, travels 1300 miles on average, and it goes through like 6 different hands. Right. And so it doesn't take a genius to go, well, we could waste a lot less food, because we waste like 40% of the food we produce is wasted. 40%. So if we wasted a lot less food, how would we do it? If we were to reduce the distance it travels and reduce the hands that it goes through, that would fix it. So we, a couple of years ago, we built a MVP, a prototype to test the market with, to see if we could build a local food chain between the more direct between the farm and the last mile to the consumer's front door. And so we've had great success. We have over 70, 70 different local,
Does your dog want to be on the podcast?
You don't trust me. She loves attention.
So, I love it.
But we have over 70 farms and local food brands. We have about 600 active customers, and we're just getting started. So I'm the
Wade. I'm the founder. So, yeah. how did you find the farms that you're going to partner with? I mean, especially at the beginning, right? So you have this idea and say, hey, I want to connect you to a more direct buyer. What did you do, and what was your pitch? And obviously, I know farms are going to be interested, but as you're getting started and trying to build farms and are, you know, bring farms in, what was that process like of picking and choosing the ones that you knew would be reliable and the ones that you could trust?
Yeah. Good question. So we did definitely do a curation. So we try, instead of having 15 different sauces, anything we can find, we try to come up with the three best sauces in the area being produced, that sort of thinking. And there turns out there's a lot of momentum, a lot of positive momentum within the food community. But it's very sparse. Like, everyone is scattered. It's very scattered. So you got to go to the farmer's market, and some people are getting into this grocery store, and some people are doing that, but there's not any kind of consolidated thing. So when we went out, we thought that was going to be an uphill battle, but it was not. It was kind of opened the doors. We've worked with TDA has a great program called PickTN. So they have, you know, I forget, dozens of local farms, local brands that they've already vetted, right? That are in. We've aligned with, like, and here in Knoxville, we have a community kitchen called Real Good Kitchen, where they help food entrepreneurs put their processes together through the same TDA people that we deal with, right? So, yeah, I would say it wasn't, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it wasn't hard to aggregate. Mm-hmm. We actually have a lot more people waiting to get on the platform.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Emmett, I love what Emmett said. Did you just start walking to people's barns? Like, I just see Wade, like, just start aimlessly wandering around. Yeah. The countryside. Like,
there was some of on our platform. Yeah. There was some. Like, oh, so is that a cow?
So you said on average, so let's put in comparison. So you said on average 1,300 miles, and what'd you say, six or seven hands?
Yep.
Now it's like what? Like maybe 120 miles in like two hands? Basically,
three hands. Yeah, there's the farm, there's the consumer, and then there's farm grub in between. So we do direct resourcing.
That's crazy.
And then we take it last mile to the consumer.
What's been the biggest pushback that you guys have had? Either because I know you said you're looking for a lead investor, right? So anybody watches this that was looking for being a lead investor, hit up Wade. Tell them Unicorn Finder sent you. But like, what's the biggest pushback? To me, this sounds like foolproof. Like, this sounds great.
I think one of the biggest challenges is people are very, very prone to the current system, right? Like, everyone's well vetted in their process. So this is a new way of thinking. And mm-hmm. you really got to put it in front of them as to what the value of local is. Because they're like, oh, I can get a tomato from you, or I can just get a tomato where I constantly get it every week where I'm getting it now. So I wouldn't call it a pushback as much as a it's our challenge has been shifting people's mentality towards this new way of grocery shopping.
It does seem like the farmers markets, like, really taken off, right? And those are starting to become more popular. And, you know, as somebody that grew up in a suburb, like, we didn't have a farmer. Like, I grew up in South Florida. Like, there's not even a farm within 50 miles of my parents' house, like a real farm. Maybe we need to, anyway, so nothing really there. So we just went to the supermarket, right? And that's what everybody did. Farmers markets seem to be really taking off. And I think one of the things that I found is that the quality is as good, if not better. The size and what you get is usually greater. The value is a lot greater. And, you know, there's been a huge push. And you mentioned during COVID, but it does seem like over the last, you know, decade or so of shopping local and buying local and everything else. So it does seem foolproof. It just seems like it's a matter of just kind of getting the name out there, right? So is that what you guys would be looking for when you guys would be looking for your lead investors to really ramp up advertising and marketing? What would be your plan for dollars?
Yeah, I think the biggest need for dollars right now is to expand our selection. Like I said, we've got dozens and dozens and dozens of local small to medium-sized brands and farms wanting to get on the platform. So there's some major costs to onboarding and growing aggressively like we want with that. The other side would just be a marketing. So we're ready to launch for real, right? Like we've been doing it for 2 years with an MVP, with the skeleton crew of just us, mainly us founders, and family. So we'd build a team. We build a team and we start a marketing strategy. A big portion of what we're trying to raise is it goes straight to marketing. So
how do you, go ahead, Dan, go ahead, Dan.
I have a question. So, if somebody goes on to make an order, how does it work? Does it say like it just goes to Tomatoes and it gives you farm options, or do you guys just say, hey, I want a tomato, and then you just know that someplace within this area that tomato is going to come from? How does it work from a user perspective and a buyer perspective?
Yeah, so I'm a product strategist, so I put a lot of e-commerce sites together. So we adhere to all the best practices. It's very best practice as far as the way you shop. You go on, there's a shopping cart. You can put stuff in your shopping cart. You can check out and use your credit card to check out. So it's,
but do I get the choice of like which farm it came? Like if I'm just using an example here. So if there's six farms that you guys have that grow tomatoes, do I get to pick which farm it comes from, or is it just who has excess inventory or inventory?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So we're full transparent. We might have two or three tomatoes on the site and you can see which farm they came from.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. And they set their own price too within the community. Oh, okay. Right. So if there are, they usually know each other and they're like, hey, Kyle's selling his tomatoes for this.
They'll talk for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's very communal in that regard. So,
How do you guys make money? I mean, I would imagine you guys would just put a markup on the vegetables, or not. Mm-hmm. And do you guys get the farmers to buy into this platform? How do you guys structure that?
Yeah. So we've learned a lot in the last couple of years, the way we want to do it. We started out with just a margin, markup, just a wholesale retail market, process. But, where we're at now is we're still there. We're at a 32% margin overall, which is great. That's a very good margin. Mm-hmm. But for our farms, for our fruits and vegetables, we make a much lower margin. And because our shelf products and our meat products already make such a great margin, right? They're just like out of the gate. So, and things like eggs and cheese and things like that, we make a really good margin on. So I think where a lot of people have failed in the past with similar business models is they focus on fruits and vegetables and they try to make their money on fruits and vegetables. And that's a really hard thing to do. That's a near impossible thing to do. And farms like that are only getting on average 15 cents out of the dollar, right? So we want to give them up to 80%. So we make a 20% margin, 15 to 20% margin on fruits and vegetables. But where we really make our money is on all the other stuff. So if someone will come to our site, a lady will come to our site and want to order cherry tomatoes because they're on sale for $1.99 and she's saved 25 cents, but her AOV, her average order value might be maybe $100 order, $150 order. So yeah, we make that 32% margin.
Do you guys have a mobile app, or is it on the web right now? And that's something in the future. Cause my wife orders everything on her app, on her mobile with Instacart and on Kroger and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, we built an MVP early on. We've got new technology that we're lining up. It's another thing that we're going to use some of the budget for that we're raising, but on our MVP, it's just web. Cause that enabled us to be, you know, cross-platform on all browsers and happy-go-lucky without them having to download anything. But we have plans of putting some apps together in the future.
Awesome.
But right now we're just universally available at farmgrub.com on mobile. So it is mobile first design, as you'll see. Yeah.
So
that's fascinating. Yeah, I wish we had something like that here in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to Dan's comment about farmers markets, like I said, I mean, we go to ours pretty much every Saturday just to see. And so being able to maybe source stuff from farmers 60 miles outside of Nashville, because there's a lot of farms in the Nashville area, that could be pretty awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we work with several farms in Nashville. So there's a grass-fed farm there that does a lot of good stuff. So
Taylor lives on a farm.
Yeah, well, horse farm. I mean, we have horses, and we have horses and land. And then my wife does grow some small vegetables. But you're right, fruits and vegetables, so, man, it's hard.
So you live on a farm. Your wife grows fruits and vegetables, okay, and you there live you on go. A farm.
Gotcha. Yeah.
If you wait, if you need somebody that's in, where do you live? Hendersonville. Where do you
Hendersonville. Live? Hendersonville. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Look at you, Dan.
You need a Hendersonville farm. They might be able to produce 6 or 7 tomatoes a year.
All right.
Maybe a couple sprigs of mint. Might be a small vendor, but
yeah. Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it.
I'll give you 6 tomatoes from the Dessen farm. And then there we go. But no, I get it.
I mean, it's Dessen Farms.
Yeah, it's tough to grow fruits and vegetables. I get that. Yeah. So Wade, man, as we wrap up here, any exciting future plans that you can share? Just any kind of last words at all?
Yeah, if you're in the Knoxville area, you know, try us out. 20% off first order and free delivery first order. It's free delivery of orders of $50 or more. It's $8 if it's under $50.
Okay. That's awesome. And then real quick, last thing, I didn't even ask this, at least I don't think we did. How are you guys figuring out logistics to like get people to the door? Right. So like, I know you put the markup on the vegetables. Who are you paying to deliver everything? Like, how does that work?
So we leverage the gig economy. It's actually a pretty awesome. So we've streamlined all 3 phases of the company. The third phase is what you're talking about, the last mile. The other 2 phases, aggregation and then warehouse, dark store, just in time inventory. But on that third phase, on the last mile, we leverage the gig economy, but we do what's called, it's similar to Amazon's Flex model. So if you work for Instacart, or you know how Instacart works, you get an order. You got to go to the grocery store. You got to do the order. It takes you 45 minutes to an hour to go through the whole process to do 1 delivery. With us, as a delivery, 1099 delivery, we'll say we've got 10 orders that are in a sequential pattern. And you'll come by and they're already picked and packed. You just pick up the orders and then you drop them off. You can drop off. We tested it and you can drop off up to 10 in an hour, which if if your tips are $15-$20 bucks a drop off, then it turns out a kid or a gig, a driver that works for us could make up to $100,000 a year if ideally or more. Right. Cause it's really good. Because you don't make $20 every hour, you make as many.
Sure, right.
Yeah, so,
well, if you can pick up and just drop off in that order, it's very different than going to a restaurant, waiting, picking it up, going, waiting for your next order, everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. We've streamlined all 3 of those processes, which is really our secret sauce. We're strategists and we know how to optimize best practice and really streamline all 3 of the phases.
That's awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Danny, anything else, ma'am?
I don't. I think, like I said, I think it's an awesome product. Wish we had it here. Hopefully one day you guys will be here.
All right.
Sweet.
I'll be customer number 1.
That sounds great. Yeah.
All right. Dan's customer 1. Wade, appreciate you, ma'am. Have a good one. Thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Wade. Thank you. All right. Take care. All right.
Man, I'm a big fan. I don't know if I'm just naive in this, but I feel like this is huge. I feel like it could be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about, obviously there's a reason why supermarkets are the size that they are, and farmers markets are the size that they are. And that's not necessarily indicative of like anything other than just getting people out of the way that they do things. I know, to me, the best thing that it can provide is you can now capture like the Instacart and Amazon Fresh buyer that like otherwise might not be able to go to the farmer's market, right? Because, you know, let's be honest, like in a lot of major metropolitan cities, unless you have like a lot of farms, like Tampa has a few farmer's markets like a week, maybe in the greater Tampa Bay area. Right. And the ones that are here are packed to the brim all the time. But if you have kids or you work when, you know, those are going on, you can't go. Right? Right. And so sometimes you're stuck with what's available, and that's Instacart or that's, you know, Amazon Fresh. So like I said, I love the idea. I think people do prefer to buy local. I think that there's often like a misconception that like if you buy local, it's just going to inherently be more expensive. And that's correct. Not the case, right? Because like you see like the local farm to table restaurants and you're like,
I think
really
that's
yeah. this chicken costs $29, right?
And that's then in cheap, reality, man. It's like up to 40 here in Nashville, I feel like. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, probably, right? Like I haven't been, right? But that's what I'm saying. So like, but farmers markets are usually like fresher. There's not a lot of process and steps along the way. Like I said, they're usually juicier. They're usually like less hormonal and less,
less pesticides.
Sprayed with things, right? Yeah. Like they might look a little different because they're not like manufactured to be like this perfect, like
tomato.
Tomato, right? But I mean, like I said, I love the idea. I've not really thought about it. I don't know if like what the competition in the space looks like, but like I said, I'm a big fan. I think it's just a matter of getting people into that mindset.
Here's my thing. And Wade obviously comes from a design background. He runs a design agency, so he should have this on lock. Wade, if you're still watching, you better have this on lock. I think the biggest friction that they are going to have is, are they developing a web app and a mobile app that my 65-year-old mother can use? Because when you think groceries and produce, people are not technical, they're not nerds, but like this is a very general population thing, right? So if I go on your website and it's a bunch of clicks, or I go on your mobile app and it's very confusing, people are just going to bounce immediately, I think, in this situation.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I don't find shopping online to be an enjoyable user experience just as a whole, right? Obviously with the farmer's market, what's nice is you can cut out a lot of the steps of like your toilet paper and Windex and batteries and all that other stuff. And you can just say, hey, like here's the fruits, here's the vegetables, here's dairy and meat, right? Like you have four categories. And I do think that you're going to probably find cheaper prices. I think that you're going to find delivery to be quicker, and you know how long the process has been, right? Like that tomato might have been picked 2 days ago instead of sitting somewhere, 2.5 weeks ago, right? Like how many times have you gone to the grocery store recently, just like with the supply chain as it is, like you go and buy lettuce and the expiration date's in like 6 days. You're like, am I going to eat all this lettuce in 6 days? Right. But if I know it's coming from a
narrator, they never do.
They never do. You know how many times I've like let lettuce expire because I don't look at expiration dates because I just assume that it'll be there for weeks. Right. So that's where I think this can really be a game changer. Right. I don't know. I love the idea. I love, I do hope that somebody gives him, I don't know what he was looking for. And seed money, but I do hope that somebody, does, and, they continue to work on their supply chain distribution and everything else. And then, the marketing and advertisement, and I think just getting people out of the way that they always do things, right? But, I think for a lot of people, like farmers markets, like there's a lot of ignorance, not like the bad way that we talk about ignorance, but just like they don't go or they don't know much about it.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. I was.
Yeah. Like I said, and I know if we had this app, and my wife and I, we usually like to shop organic and stay away from the pesticides and stuff. And I will, if we had access to this, we would use it like period. Like it would be our sole, delivery option. And also too, on the back end, I mean, if that's a pretty good setup for drivers too.
That's an incredible setup for drivers. I mean, you have to start thinking about it, right? Like Uber Eats and everything else, like that just doesn't seem like as sexy as the ability to go to one place, pick up a bunch of different stuff, and then go do your drop off. And I mean, if you're a college kid and you can make $100 in an hour or 2 hours, whatever it might be, then
yeah,
crazy. Like I had that kind of money when I was in college.
Oh, seriously, same. Well, sweet. All right, Dan. Well, thanks for hanging out with me, man, today. It's pretty good to see you.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's a pleasure to be with you. Can I make a quick social announcement real quick? Oh,
here we go.
Not social media. There was a shooting in Tampa on Sunday morning.
Okay.
15 people got shot. 2 people died. Just making a just blanket announcement. If we as a society could stop shooting people, that would be great. Just as a whole, we've got to work on that as a country. So thoughts and prayers to those that just it affected my community. It happened a mile and a half.
Seriously?
From where I live in downtown Tampa. Yeah. A lot of people didn't. Yeah. 15 people shot, 2 people dead. Very, very sad. Yeah. And you probably didn't hear about it because there's been a lot that's happened before, and I'm sure there'll be another one in the not too distant future. And we've just kind of become numb to it. So super sad situation here in Tampa. But if as a society we could all just work towards not shooting people, that would be a really cool step in the right direction. So
yeah, and
try not to get on political soapboxes.
No, you're good. I mean, I don't think there's anything political about not shooting anybody, right? I think that's just normal human nature. And also too, like, listen, I mean, Dan, you and I have talked about this. Mental health's huge. Listen, if you're angry, go get help. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? Angry is an emotion. Everyone gets angry. But, again, I think mental health is important, and I don't think it's talked about enough. So if you're having problems, go talk to somebody for real. Talk to us.
Yeah, we'll please do. So,
All right, Dan, it's good to see you. And we'll see
you next week. Great seeing you guys. Thanks, everybody, for watching, commenting, and then we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah. Peace.